Good evening. This is Pastor Beloy, our Wednesday night Bible study on the Psalms. We're going to consider Psalm 63 this evening. Now, some of you have been in the Wednesday night Bible study and have gone over this with me 2 years ago, approximately. But there are a good number of you that haven't. And so I'm going to go back over this particular study by starting with the reading of it. And so, hear the word of God. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, I shall rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of him or of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us from your word, grant us understanding, and also afterwards give us strength to obey. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I entitled this The Four P's of God. The Four P's of God. And why? Because each of the four points start with a P, and they are things that David did, according to this account of his, and what we are to do. And so that's what it's going to be about, is the four P's of God. And so let me begin with the first P, and you tell me what it is. Because God is his God, David blank God throughout his life. Again, because God is his God, David blank God throughout his life. That blank starts with a P. Now let me read to you the two verses that indicate what this P is. So listen very carefully. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Okay? What could that P mean? And especially ponder the words, followeth hard after thee. What could David have done throughout his life according to these verses, according to these words? If he said pursued, you got it right. Give yourself a point. Yes, God is his God, and thus David pursued God throughout his life. But what was his motivation for doing so? That's the second question. And by the way, you'll have an outline that you can follow, so you won't be totally at a loss. So what motivated David? According to verse 1 and 2. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That's the wilderness, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Think about that for a moment. What has to be the greatest motivation for one, to love God, and to live for God? Well, according to this, especially verse 2, it is that he saw the Lord. Now you might say, well, how come you see God? He's invisible, right? But yet in the Bible it says that David saw the Lord. Where? In the sanctuary. Now, what specifically did he see? What exactly did he see? Well, it says that he saw his power and his glory. Those are clues. In fact, what God did was that he appeared in what they call his Shekinah glory. His Shekinah glory was his appearing in this cloud that hovered over the tabernacle. And specifically, within the sanctuary, within the Holy of Holies that hovered over the Ark of the Covenant. That was where God chose to dwell with his people. And so God meets with his people there, at least back then. Now, we don't have that today. But that is a picture of Calvary and how Calvary and the work of Christ, the sacrifice on the cross, is what we meet around when we come to worship God in the church. 3, what does the world do to those who seek, thirst for, long after, pursue God? According to verse 9, let me read verse 9 now. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth, the nether world, as it were, the place of the dead. So, the worldly, they don't care about Christians, do they? They don't care about believers. In fact, if they could, they would destroy them. They would destroy them just so that they wouldn't be in their hair. Just so that they wouldn't be convicted by the gospel. And that's exactly what it says in that verse. 4, what does God do to them in the end? Verse 10, they shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. In other words, God will do the same thing that they seek to do to the believer. Destroy them. Unless they repent and come to faith, of course, but if they don't, this is what the Bible says that God will do to them. That is, their very carcasses will be gobbled up by desert consumers, and they won't even have a decent burial. Imagine that. And especially the enemies of God, sin and the devil, and sinful society that are in a hot pursuit after our destruction. But let my soul be in hot pursuit after God. That's the lesson behind that. Now we come to the second P of God. The first P again is David pursued God. How about the second P? Listen very carefully to verses 3 through 5. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Ah, you got it. You picked it out, huh? 2 out of the 3 words that speak to this second P are the very word praise. So David will praise God as long as he lives. With what members of his body does David express his satisfaction in God? Okay, I won't read it again, but maybe you can look at your Bible and pick it out. So, the first are his, there's a place to fill it out, by the way, in the questionnaire. His lips, there you go, L-I-P-S. That's the first thing. My lips shall praise thee. The second, his hands. I will lift up my hands in thy name. That was what the high priest did in offering up the sacrifice and offering up praise to God in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle. And also what God's people do as an act of adoration. They lift up their hands. Have you ever done that before? It's a wonderful experience. It's very elating. And also as we lift up our hands to the plow of the service of Christ in the world, especially the plow of the gospel. And what else? What are the parts of his being? His soul, or his entire entity, his inner man, or well, actually in the Hebrew it could be the whole person, body and soul. So his entire life and his entire existence, he is literally saying that my being, my life, everything is in your hands, O God. And so I will bless thee while I live. I will bless thee while I live. My soul shall be satisfied with you as marrow and fatness. And lastly, with his mouth. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. You cannot help but praise God with joyful lips. I mean, to praise him with anything else is not to praise him at all. And especially with the mouth, a confession is made unto salvation, and the heart believes unto righteousness. In other words, to be saved. 7. Why does David do this as the greatest reason in the entire universe, according to verse 3? What is the motivation for David to praise God? The greatest motivation of all is his loving kindness. He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Yes, but what exactly is his loving kindness? We can kind of have a feel for that, his love or his kindness, but actually it's the word for his covenant and steadfast love. That is the love by which he loved sinners from the foundations of the world. Before time began, his unchangeable love that he loved sinners with and chose them to be his, and then sent his son to redeem them in time, in his coming into this world and living a sinless life and dying an atoning death and then rising from the dead in their behalf, so that they might rise into newness of life. And for this reason, because of God's loving kindness being better than life, better than this present life, because it's eternal. It's eternal life. It is forever. His lips will praise the Lord. You know, you might have the best that this world could offer. You might have money and cars and houses and lands and bank accounts, just brimming with money. Be surrounded by family and friends. And yet, God's loving kindness, his steadfast covenant love, excels them all. And as a Christian, if you have all those things and you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. But if you have all those things and aren't a Christian and do not know Jesus Christ, oh, I tell you, you just don't know what it means to live yet. You haven't begun to live. It's that saving relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, that is everything. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thus my lips shall praise thee. Now the third P, listen very carefully, verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Okay? It's a P. It starts with a P. The word starts with a P. So David does God at the end of the day. He what? And I know I picked P so that they would all rhyme to help you remember this alliteration. And that's not as important as the meaning behind it, but nevertheless, he ponders God at the end of the day. He thinks upon God. He remembers God. He meditates upon God. Do you do that? Is that something that you enjoy doing? Is that something that you do at different times of the day and not just at the end of the day and not just when you're on your bed, but at other times? But the night represents also the end of our life. And perhaps this is an aspect that is important to consider, because there are times in our lives that we feel like we're in the nighttime. David, for example, at this time in his life was running from his son Absalom, who was after his life. He was his renegade son. And he wandered from place to place. He was like a nomad. And yet he was the king of Israel. And yet God was ever with him wherever he went. And that's why he would say what he said, that I remember you upon my bed. I remember you and meditate upon you in the night watches when I'm staying up at night, and not just because I'm praying, but because I'm watching out for my enemies. I'm watching out for my renegade son and for others, soldiers that are in his army that are after my life. Even some that were in my army that turned on me, turned traitor. He still had time to think on the Lord, even in war. 9. Even when he was between a rock and a hard place in life, where did David finally find encouragement? And I gave a verse here that you were to look up, and I have it written in the questionnaire, so let me go ahead and read it. 1 Samuel 36, which reads, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." This was what David faced wherever he went. It seemed like his whole nation was turning its back on him, and actually turning their face against him. But you know what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter if the whole world was against him. If God before him, who could be against him? It says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When those trying times come, when those times when you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, do you turn to God? Do you look to him and just think on him and just commit your heart and soul to him and say, everybody else quiet, I want to be alone with him. Stop, world, because I want to be still and know that he is my God. Well, let's move on to the fourth P of God. Question 10. David took blank in God. This is based on verse 7 of Psalm 63. We're still there. "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Now, I'll just have to tell you this one. This is kind of tricky. It'll take you a while to come up with the answer to this. But David took pleasure in God. He took pleasure in God. He just reveled in God. He was like a chick that revels in the feathers of her mommy hen, as it were. This could be a picture of a mother hen when the chicks are cold and frightened and go for safety and refuge and warmth to their mother. I had an experience back here when we were raising chickens, and a hawk came down, and one of my sons came running to me and says, "Dad, Dad, a hawk is about to eat our chicks." And so I ran out, and no sooner I ran out, here comes the hawk making a dive, and he makes an about turn, 180 degree turn, and took off. Well, God is like that mother hen to take care of her chicks, and especially to covenant breaking Israel. Especially when Christ came, and Christ was like on a mountaintop looking down on Jerusalem and praying to God for this untoward and recalcitrant nation that would not receive him as their Messiah, as their Savior, as their Christ. And he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets," imagine the very prophets of God, they killed and stoned those that were sent to them by God. "How often would I have gathered thee as chickens, as hen gathered her chickens under her wings." Actually, "how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as the hen gathered her chicks under her wings, and you would not." You wouldn't come to me that you might have life. You wouldn't come to me that you might have eternal life. Well, those wings, again, like the glory cloud and like the cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant where God met with his people, are again a type or picture of Calvary. Our Savior shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins and obtained for us eternal life and redemption. What Matthew Henry described as divine tenderness. divine tenderness. Which brings me to the last question. What is the effect of our rejoicing on others? What is it? Well, verse 11 it says, but the king shall rejoice in God, and that's of course King David himself who wrote this psalm. Everyone that sweareth by him shall rejoice, okay? So God's people who call themselves God's people by covenant with God, along with David, they rejoice. But also the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. There will be those who will continue to not believe and who will, of course, not rejoice, but will continue to speak lies against the Lord. But their mouths will be stopped eventually. But nevertheless, we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Are we not? So let's again review very quickly what those four P's are of God according to Psalm 63. First, we pursue God throughout our life. Are you pursuing God throughout your life? Are you pursuing God right now in the midst of this pandemic? I hope so. And well, let me say this, if you are, it's a good sign. But you know, even when there is no pandemic, I hope that you will continue to pursue God, because that will be the true mark of your being Christ. But what else? The second P of God. David will, or we will, praise God as long as we live. Do we praise God? Is his praise ever upon our hearts and even on our lips as we go throughout our day? Are we looking for things that are blessings that we take note of and praise God for? And third, do we ponder God at the end of the day? Do we assess and consider what we've been through and how God has brought us through that day, this day, and how he's ever with us, even in the midst of deep and terrible trials in our lives, even when we are in our nighttime, as it were, such as the valley of the shadow of death? David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the fourth P, do we take pleasure in God? Take pleasure in God because we are with God and God is with us. That we are under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. I pray that this is so with you. I pray that these four P's of God are what you are all about, and me. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, we are thankful for this opportunity to have this Bible study, even when we can't be together. Lord, it is sort of like our relationship with you right now. You're in heaven, at a distance from us, and we are on earth. And yet, whenever we worship you, whether in the church or in a home such as ours here, where we would normally have our Bible study, yet you are with us. And so really this condition of our being separated from each other is really not that much different than our normal situation, except that, Lord, we who are your people, who are members in your church and citizens in your kingdom, are not able to be together for fellowship. But we thank you nevertheless for our being together in spirit, and Lord, through our modern technology and through the opportunities that we seize for the kingdom, may Lord continue to have that. And when things improve and we are able to get back together to our normal routine, Lord, may we be even more thankful to you, our God. We praise you and we give you thanks. In the name of Christ, our Savior, amen. Well, God bless you all, and thank you for joining with me for this Bible study. And remember, 6:30 tomorrow is the time. And that's Wednesday, April 15th at 6:30 p.m. Thank you.